The following is a paid program, and the views expressed on this show do not represent the views of WJZ-FM, Entercom Communications, its sponsors, or affiliates.
This is Living Today, heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8. Now, here's your host, Charisse Irons.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, and welcome to Living Today. This is your host, CEO and founder of Irons Group LLC, where we inspire, empower, and help people discover who they are authentically, either organizations, youth, and or individuals who are looking to get better at everything that they do in life. So this morning, we're going to continue to talk about love. It is our last show on that topic, and this morning, we're going to talk about agape love. So if you'd like to learn more about our services, you could visit my website at ironsgroupllc.com. You could give me a call at 646-220-5889. Follow me on Instagram at Miss Iron Sharpens or on Twitter at Irons Group at Irons Group. Or you can also go on my Facebook fan page at Irons Group LLC. So as I mentioned earlier this morning, we'll be talking about agape love. We've talked about love in intimacy and marriage at the start of this month. We've talked about brotherly love, and we've also talked about a father's love for his daughter. So we're going to wrap it up this month with none other than a very, very good friend of mine. He is a pastor, father of four children, an amazing husband, and a really, really good friend. And his name is Pastor Angel Rodriguez. Angel, have you joined us this morning?
Yes, good morning. I'm here, Charisse. How are you today?
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be talking a lot about agape love, so I just wanted to welcome you on and thank you for being willing to share with everyone this morning about what that is and how we can achieve it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, you're welcome. So before we get started, can you just tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm a born-again believer. I think that's the most important part of my life. Coming to faith in Christ. I'm also currently licensed minister with the Assemblies of God in the Alabama District Assembly, and also I'm married to the lovely Oslyn Rodriguez, and we have four children together. And I'm currently an interim pastor of the Living Word Assembly of God in Lynette, Alabama. And my tent-making skill, if you will, is an attorney in New York. So I know that's quite a mouthful. So let me take a breath.
That's good. Well, you're pretty busy. Four children, wife, pastor, attorney. That sounds like a pretty busy person, right? So when you hear the word agape, what does that mean to you, Angel?
Well, agape, the Greek word, as you know, is agapeo. And I did an interesting word study. You know, we hear about agape love, phileo love, and what does that really mean? And agape love, in essence, is the unconditional sacrificial love of the Godhead, God towards us, right? So we know the Godhead is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so agape is God's unconditional love for us. And what really blew my mind, you know how you read a verse perhaps 10, 20 times, and then at some point in time the Holy Spirit illuminates it?
Right.
Basically, for me, it was Romans 5:8, which I've read probably 40 times. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That unconditional love. God loves us all. And the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was meant to bring us all into relationship with God for those who would accept him. So that really blew my mind. I mean, you know, you might die for a friend. You might die for a child. You might die for a spouse. You know, you might die for your crazy Uncle Henry. But Christ died for all. And that's something that just transposes our view of love and today's modern definition of what love is.
Right.
So basically, unconditionally means, in terms of agape, I didn't do anything to deserve it. There's nothing good about me necessarily that would cause anyone to say, okay, especially someone who may not know me, that I'm going to die for that person. Now, of course, Christ knows all of us. The Bible says he knows every hair on our head and he created us. But for him to walk that painful walk to Calvary and die on a cross for us, it's just amazing, the unconditional love of God. And that's really what struck me in preparing for today.
Excellent. So I read a couple of articles and, you know, did my little research on what people are saying about agape. And it is, I got a different definitions. There was an article in Psychology Today, which I found very interesting, actually. by a doctor, Neil Burton, and it was an article written about the seven types of love, and agape was, I think, about fifth on the list. And he defined it as universal love, love for God, strangers, and nature, that it does not depend on your familiarity with the person. It's charity. It's used to encompass altruism, which is unselfish concern for others, helps to build and maintain a psychological, social, and our environment. So when you hear that definition, especially out of a psychology magazine, I didn't expect to find that definition in there. So do you agree with that? And how do we allow in society for this kind of love, for this altruism?
Well, I think when we talk about altruism, altruism is a great thing. I mean, we need to really concentrate on what the definition seems to be by Mr. Burton. So he seems to equate man on the same pedestal as God, and that somehow we can have that same type of love for others. And we're certainly called to do that. We're certainly called to have God's love towards others. But I don't think we can ever reach that platitude, if you will. We can never really reach God's love towards us and what it really meant. However, we could certainly try. But man has an ego, okay? So I'm not a psychology major. I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of psychology, but we do things for a reason, right? So people name wings of universities not just out of the goodness of their own heart, but they also want to see their name up in lights, or they have a different motivation. God's only motivation for dying on the cross was to reconcile us to him. There was no benefit to for him necessarily. There was nothing that he's going to say, I need to have my lights name up in lights. He's the creator of the universe. So for man, there's always when I say man, I'm including, if you want to talk about another article, that may not be the most accepted thing today, but when I talk about mankind, there's a reason, there's a motivation as to even an altruistic act. So it's not unconditional, per se. There's a drive behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the example of, you know, the Charisse Irons wing at Johns Hopkins University. Well, you have an altruistic heart, you want to do good things, but you also like to have your name on the Johns Hopkins University building that you dedicated. So I think it's very different. It's a stark contrast between unconditional love God towards us and our altruism or our desire to do good for society.
Excellent. So I think that and another thing I was reading, it said that agape is about goodwill, faithfulness, commitment, and an act of the will. A lofty moral nature and strong character is required to have this kind of love. It's used in a variety of contexts in the New Testament, describing love that is and from God, whose very nature is love itself. So I think what Angel is saying, or what we're hearing, is that most likely, because we're human beings, it will be it's challenging for us to really get to that place, because only God is the essence of this love that we're talking about. So in 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. Why do you think so many people have a hard time believing that God loves them without conditions, Angel?
Because we put conditions on everything as humans. But I want to talk about God's love for a moment, right? As human beings, what do? I love you if. So I put conditions on that, right? My children, I love you if you're obedient. My wife, I love you if you draw a bath for me on Saturday nights. With God, God's love is not I love you if. With God is I love you so. I love you so I'm going to walk to the cross and die on Calvary for you. I love you so I'm going to bless you. I love you so I'm going to pour out my heart to you. I love you so I'm going to call you to myself. I love you, so I'm going to call you to read my word. I love you, so I'm going to deposit my Holy Spirit in you. In Romans 5:5, it says, and this hope will not lead to disappointments, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So God's love is I love you so, and our love is I love you if. Mm. Those are conditions. God's love has no conditions.
Excellent. So God's love, what I'm hearing you say is that it's his nature to love us, and it's an expression of his nature. It's an action. And the cross is the example of that. It's always agape is always shown through action and by what he does. So if you're someone who you're listening to us this morning and you're wondering, okay, so how do I do this? And what does this look like for me? Because God commands us to love others with agape love, whether they are fellow believers or our enemies. There are a lot of scriptures. I mean, the great commandment in Matthew, you know, Jesus said, you know, love God first and love your neighbor as yourself. And so what are your thoughts about this command? And why do you think we have so much of a challenge with this in 2018? So while we may not aspire, we may not get to that place because we're not God, right? How do we, why do you think people still struggle with helping their neighbor?
That's a very good question, Charisse, and let's look at that, right? So we're called to follow Christ's example and follow God's example in shedding out agape love. But that requires us to do an act, and it requires us to die to ourselves. It requires us to leave behind our selfish motivations, and it requires us to play that out. And perhaps there's no greater example of that than in a marriage relationship. And if Ephesians 5:25, as you know, says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So we're to die to ourselves. So in my situation, I have a wife, right? My wife has needs. She has concerns. She has goals. She has aspirations. So do I. But I'm not to put myself before my wife. I'm not to put what I want to do or my hopes and dreams before her. I'm supposed to love her unconditionally. So that means that the selfish motivations that I have, this is very difficult. No one is saying this is easy. And this takes a lot of practice and a lot of prayer. But you have to put it into practice to realize it. I have to cede my hopes, my desires, my dreams to see her flourish. And if Christ can die on the cross for us, and I'm called to love my wife sacrificially, then there's certain things that I want to do that I cannot do or shouldn't do in order to edify and bless her. And so, for example, if I want to fly across the world to see the Yankees play in Anaheim on opening day, and she has, you know, an event that she has to go to and she wants me to be there with her, then obviously my role in dying to myself or loving her sacrificially is to say, well, I'll catch it on video replay as opposed to flying into Anaheim to see the Yankees play the Angels. And obviously that's a stark example, but that's the type of thing that we're to do, just to love one another. So love one another sacrificially. There are things that we need to put down that in and of themselves are not bad. But when you look at the motivation, always question, what is your motivation? Am I looking to edify or build somebody up? Or am I doing this for my own selfish reasons, my own selfish means? Am I pleasing myself, or am I trying to encourage and strengthen somebody else?
Right. So I did a video a few months ago about putting people first and being very intentional about that. It was a chapter I read in John Maxwell's book, Intentional Living. And he talked about why you need to put people first and really taking time to learn about the people that are around you, learn about your family, friends, really learning about what their interests are and not really focused on it because of your own interest, but really to get to know that person better. And I think you made a really great point about the sacrifice, making a sacrifice in terms of your, you know, being a husband and, you know, and a father. There are certain things that will happen that will take priority because you're putting the other person in front of yourself. And it's really timely because I read an article. It's a quote by Billy Graham, you know, and as I think about, you know, that parade that they had for Billy Graham yesterday, you know, this long motorcade, and this is a man who exhibited, you know, he walked with Christ. You there was no doubt in your mind who he was. And as I was preparing, I found a quote by Billy Graham that said, agape love is selfless love. The love God wants us to have isn't just an emotion, but a conscious act of the will, a deliberate decision on our part to put others ahead of ourselves. This is the kind of love God has for us. So, you know, what are your thoughts about that quote and what Billy Graham said about that angel?
I love Dr. Graham, and I'm sure he's rejoicing with the Lord right now. But I think inherent in that quote also is a call to humility. Mm. And part of humility is esteeming someone else better than ourselves. And I think we've kind of lost that today in the world and also, unfortunately, in modern capital C Christianity. Esteeming one another better than ourselves means that we humble ourselves one to another. And so I put the needs of someone else above my own. And when you do that, you know, you strengthen and you empower the other person. And you build them up and you build up a body of believers in Christianity, and you build up a society as well.
Excellent. So, you know, agape love does not come naturally to us. And, you know, it's not something that we think of. You talked about our motives before. You talked about why we have to think about someone else before ourselves each time. And if you're in a situation where you're struggling with, you know, you're saying, Sharice Angel, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I am not really familiar with this kind of love. You may not even be a Christian. One of the things that I was away for a few days last week, and, you know, John Maxwell was talking about being selfless and putting other people in front of yourself. And, you know, he had a lady that came to visit, and she was talking. And this woman, she's probably, I would say, maybe in her late 30s, early 40s, very tiny, petite lady. She has ran, I don't know, she takes care of orphans in Bangladesh, and there are about 600 kids. And this lady has been trying to raise $1 million for several, it's been a while that she's been trying to raise this money. And she told us about, you know, the kids, and she talked to us about, you know, what she was doing. And I thought, okay, this is really interesting. You know, someone else who is out there, one person making a difference, trying to do something great. But what was impressive about her is her sacrifice, the sacrifices that she has made. So I'll tell you some of the things that she did, Angel. So she ran marathons. She climbed Mount Everest. She has done, you know, swam across the English Channel. And before she swam across the English Channel, she didn't even know how to swim. So she had to hire someone to help her, to teach her how to swim. She's ran on every continent. She's done Ironman. So she's done all these different things, all for one singular purpose, and that is to raise money for these orphans. And what really blew my mind was that she was standing there talking about it calmly. Every time someone said no to her, it was almost like they were saying yes to her. And she talked about why she was doing it. And as we were sitting there listening to her talk, you know, she, you know, John asked her how much money that she still needed to raise. And she said about $300,000. And I thought, wow, that's really not a lot of money when you really think about it. But for her, it is, right? So we were in this room, 2,500 people, and I watched for 15 minutes spontaneously people get out of their seats and walk to the front and give a donation to this lady. Let's just say by the end of the week, we found out that she had gotten $140,000 from people in the room. And I thought that was so powerful. So I guess the question I have is, when you hear about someone like that, and I know there are people out there thinking, Sharice, this is crazy, but for me, it blew my mind because she's making this sacrifice. These kids don't have a parent, but she's their parent. She's their voice. So how do we transition when you hear something like that? How does someone transition from being, okay, I don't know what to do, into doing something? Maybe not as extravagant as that or extreme, but doing something that they can help someone else.
Well, just a thought. And what you're really saying on the flip side of that is that the actions of this woman are contagious. So what it does is it inspires and it motivates people who hear that to go and do something. And you don't have to start by trying to raise $1 million, but you can start by ringing the next door neighbor's bell who may not be able to mow the lawn on their own and just say, look, can I mow the lawn for you? Well, why would you do that? Well, I want to bless you. I want to just do something nice for you. And then we have that principle of pay it forward. And when someone does something good for one person, there's a motivation that comes in, right? When you receive a blessing from someone comes in and does something nice for you, what are you motivated to do? You're motivated then to do that for someone else. It's kind of like that Agree commercial from the 1980s and so on and so on. So you'll multiply good things. So if you say, look, today I saw the example of the Boy Scout crossing the street with a little old lady. Doing these simple acts of these good works, they multiply themselves in a positive way. And they address a society that desperately needs to know that people have a plan and a purpose and that they have value. And when you do something like that for someone, you help them to understand that they are valued. And the great thing about the cross is that Jesus valued us so much that he took the walk to Calvary, and he would have done it just for you or just for I. But there's a value to people. And when you bless them in that way, when you do acts like that, and it's a simple one, it doesn't have to be anything great. Today, when you're in the diner, after you're listening to Charisse Iron's show, when you're in the diner and you see someone who sitting at a table by themselves, say, good morning, how are you? You know, buy them a cup of coffee. Have a conversation with them. Pick up somebody's check at a restaurant when they're not looking. Just bless them. Leave an extra tip. That multiplies itself in many, many ways. And when we do that, we start to spread value and we start to spread a concern for others. And people take that example and they run with it.
Fantastic. Well, if you are just joining us, we are going to go to a quick break right now. And I'll just look forward to hearing you back on the call. I'll see you guys back on the call in a few minutes.